Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. I am broadcasting live from the Gatehouse here at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, or 12 o'clock, as I always say. I'm also doing a double whammy here. I'm also doing it on Periscope, if you haven't figured that out already, for ones who might be watching me. But tonight I'm going to be talking about CPTSD and PTSD. I'll give you some examples on myself and some information I'm just going to pass on to you. First off, right off the hop, I'm not here as a therapist or anything like that. I'm just here offering my own experiences in regards to my healing experiences at the Gatehouse. And here, I'm just going to pull these off a little bit here. I'm just offering my own experiences in my recovery experiences through the Gatehouse. And I've been here for the last 7 years, and nothing like better than like doing is talking about it, and to show that, well, hopefully that I'll give you some hope out there that you can move forward in your life, as I have. So like I was saying, tonight I'm going to be talking about CPTSD and PTSD. I know through the realm of social media all week, I've had a couple of postings in regarding post-traumatic stress, and I've had some pretty good reaction from it. So I thought really necessary to talk about it, and with my own experiences, even more so, because I know that myself, having CPTSD, which I'm going to dive in and talk about a lot more as we go on. I'm going to talk about PTSD a little bit first and move on to that. But both are equally, bad as far as I'm concerned, because how it affects you, or how rather it could affect you, and hold you back in many, many different ways, in which I'll talk about as I'm going through this process. The whole process, or rather the whole the show tonight will probably be about an hour, thereabouts, but I'm going to pass this on to you. And all the information that I've collected in regards to post-traumatic stress is all coming from CAMH, if you're not familiar with who CAMH is the Canadian Mental Health Association here in Canada. So, again, like I say, I'm not here as a doctor or a therapist. I'm just offering my own experiences from my own healing journey. I'm going to pull this out of the way a little bit more. There we go. That's better. And it's very important talking about this stuff, because most people don't even understand it. You know, you always hear about people having PTSD through social media, whether it be an ex-vet or a police officer or a fire department or some frontline worker, somebody dealing with a lot of trauma. But I wanted to elaborate a little bit more about that. Trauma is often unexpected, and many people say that it's felt that they felt powerless to stop or change the event. Traumatic events may include crimes, natural disasters, accidents, war, or conflict, or threats of life. It could be an event or a situation that you have experienced yourself, or something that happens to others, including loved ones. PTSD causes intrusive symptoms such as, wait 1 second here, such as re-experiencing the traumatic event. Many people who have vivid nightmares and flashbacks or thoughts or the event that they seem to come from nowhere. They often avoid things that remind them of the event. For example, someone who has hurt or in a car crash might avoid driving, for example, after having that. PTSD can make people feel very nervous or on the edge at all time. Many feel startled very easily and have a hard time concentrating, feel irritated, or have problems in sleeping well. They may often feel like something terrible is about to happen, even when they are safe. Some people feel that it's very numb and or detached. They might even feel like this things around them aren't real. They feel disconnected from their body or thoughts, or have a hard time feeling emotions. People also experience a change in their thoughts and the mood related to the traumatic event. For some people, alcohol or drugs can be a way to cope with PTSD. And who does it affect? While most people experience trauma at the point in their life, not all traumatic experiences lead to PTSD. Why aren't we sure that some trauma causes PTSD in some people and not others? But it's likely linked to many different factors. This includes the length of time the trauma has lasted, the number of other traumatic experiences in a person's life, their reaction to the event, and the kind of support they received after the event. And some of the jobs or occupations that put people in dangerous situations, like military personnel, fire responders, police, firefighters, or paramedics, doctors, nurses, experience high rates of PTSD. Those are just some examples. Now I'm going to talk about complex post-traumatic stress, which is a little bit more details, and still equally as bad as far as I'm concerned. Complex post-traumatic stress disorder, or CPTSD, is conditional results from chronic and long-term exposure to emotional trauma, which over a victim has little or no control, from which there is little or no hope of escape, such as in such cases of domestic emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, childhood emotional and physical sexual abuse, entrapment or kidnapping, slavery or enforced labor, long-term imprisonment or torture, repeated violations of personal boundaries, long-term objectification, exposure to gaslighting and false accusations, long-term exposure to inconsistent push-pull splitting and alternative raging or hovering behaviors, long-term taking care of mentally ill or chronically sick family members, long-term exposure to crisis conditions. When people have been trapped in a situation over which they had little or no control at, in the beginning, middle, or end, they can, an intense sense of dread even after the situation is removed. This is because they know how bad things can possibly be, and they know how could possibly, rather, they all, and they know that it could possibly happen again. They know that even if it does happen again, it might be worse than before. Degree of CPTSD trauma cannot be defined purely on the terms of the trauma that the person has experienced. It is important to understand that each person is different and has a different tolerance level to trauma. Therefore, one person may be able to shake off, another person may not. Therefore, more or less exposure to trauma does not necessarily make the CPTSD any more or less severe. And just so you know, FYI, all the information I'm telling you here that I'm reading to you is coming from CAMH, or Canadian Mental Health Association. CPTS sufferers may stuff or suppress their emotions reaction to traumatic events without resolution because they believe each event by itself does not seem like it's such a big deal, or because they see no satisfactory resolution opportunity available to them. This suppression of emotional baggage can continue for a long time, either until the last straw of the event occurs, or a safer environment, or rather emotional environment, emerges, and the damage begins to break. Excuse me. In the complex post-traumatic disorder describes how one layer after another of trauma can affect with one other. Sometimes it is mistakenly assumed that the most recent traumatic event in a person's life is the one that brought them to their knees. However, just addressing that single most recent event may possibly be an invalidating experience for the CPTSD sufferer. Therefore, it is important to recognize that those who suffer from CPTSD may be experiencing feelings from all their traumatic exposure, even as they try to address most recent traumatic event. This is what differentiates CPTSD and the classic PTSD diagnosis. Typically describes an emotional response to a single or discrete number of traumatic events. Difference between CPTSD and PTSD. This is very important. I started off with PTSD just to give you a basic outline. Now I'm going to talk about the difference. Although similar complex post-traumatic stress disorder, or CPTSD, differs slightly from commonly understood or and diagnosed condition of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, in causes and symptoms. CPTSD results in a more chronic repetitive stress. Let me just get rid of this thing out of the way here. Stupid thing in the way. Okay. Therefore, a soldier returning from an intense battle may be likely to show up with PTSD symptoms, but a kidnapped prisoner of war who has held for several years may show additional symptoms of CPTSD. Similar, a child who witnesses a friend's death in an accident or may exhibit some symptoms of PTSD, but a child who grows up in an abusive home may exhibit additional CPTSD characteristics as I'm going to talk about. CPTSD, what it feels like. People who suffer from CPTSD, and let me just get rid of this on my screen here. There we go. Okay. What it feels like. People who suffer from CPTSD may feel uncentered or shaky, as they are likely to have an embarrassing emotional breakdown or burst into tears at any moment. They feel unloved or that nothing they can accomplish can ever be good enough for others. People who suffer from CPTSD may also feel compelled to get away from others and be by themselves. So that no one will witness that they may what may come up next. They may feel afraid to form close friendships to prevent possible loss should another occur. People who suffer in CPTSD feel everything just about to go out the window, and then they will not be able to handle even in the simplest task. They may be a little too distracted by what is going on at home and to focus on sex and rather successful at school or the workplace. How it can manifest into a victim over time. Rape turn inward, eating disorders, depression, substance abuse, alcoholism, tendency dropping out of school, promiscuity, codependency, doormat syndrome, choosing poor partners, trying to please someone who could never be pleased, trying to resolve a primary relationship, rage turned outward, theft, destruction of property, violence, becoming a control freak, learned hypervigilance, I can't even speak, clouded perception or blinders about others, especially in romantic partners, seeking positions of power and or control, choosing occupations or recreational outlets which may be put on oneself in a physical danger, or choosing to become a fixer, a therapist, mediator, etc. Avoidance, the practice of withdrawal from relationships with other people as a defensive measure to reduce the risk of rejection, accountability, criticism, or exposure. Blaming, a practice of identifying a person or people responsible for creating a problem rather than identifying ways of dealing with the problem. Catastrophizing, the habit of automatically assuming that the worst case scenario, inappropriately characterizing a minor or moderate problems or an issue that as a catastrophic event. Controlling syndrome. This describes a tendency in which some people have to foster relationships with people who have controlling narcissists, antisocial, or acting out of nature. Denial. Believing or imagining that some painful or traumatic circumstances event or memory does not exist or did not happen. Dependency. An inappropriate or chronic reliance by an adult, individual, or on another individual for their health, substance, decision-making, or personal or emotional well-being. Depression. Depression is when you feel sadder than your circumstances dictate, for longer than your circumstances last, but they still seem to break it out. Escape to fantasy, taking an imagery excursion to be happier, to a more helpful place. Fear of abandonment, an irritation belief that one is in imminent danger of being personally rejected, discarded, or replaced. Relationship hypervigilance, maintaining an unhealthy level of interest in the behaviors of comments and thoughts of interest of others. Identity disturbance, a psychological term used to describe a distorted or inconsistent self-view. Learned helplessness. Learned helplessness is when a person begins to believe that they have no control over a situation or even when they do. Low self-esteem, a common name for negatively distorted self-view which is inconsistent with reality. Panic attacks, a short, intense episodes of fear or anxiety, often accompanied by physical symptoms such as hyperventilating, shaking, sweating, and chills. Perfectionism, manipulative practice of holding oneself or others to an unrealistic, unattainable, or obtainable to a standard or of an organization, or to accomplishment or one particular area of living. While sometimes neglecting common standards of organization or accomplishments in the cases of others living. Selective memory and selective amnesia. The use of memory or lack of memory, which is selective to be the point of reinforcing the bias, belief, or desired outcome. Self-loathing. An extreme hatred of one's self, actions, or one's authentic or demographic background. Tunnel vision. A habit or tendency to only see the focus on a single priority of neglecting or ignoring the other important priorities. Okay, now, CPTSD causes. CPTSD causes are a prolonged or sustained exposure to an emotional trauma of abuse, which no short-term means of escape is available or apparent to the victim. The precision of neurological damage that exists in CPTSD victims is not very well understood. CPTSD treatment. Little has been done, clinical studies of treatment of CPTSD, however, in general, the following is recommended. Removal of and protection from the source of the trauma and or of the abuser. Acknowledgement of the trauma is real, important, and undeserved. Acknowledge that the trauma came from something that was stronger than the victim, and therefore could not be avoided. Acknowledgement of complex, natural, or CPTSD that responds to the earlier traumas that may have led to decisions that brought an additional undeserved trauma. Acknowledgement that recovery from the trauma is not trivial and will require significant time and effort. Separation is a resolution problem into those of the victim that can resolve, such as personal improvement goals, and those that the victim cannot resolve, such as a behavior disorder or a family member. Mourning for what has been lost and cannot be recovered. Identification of what has been lost and can be recovered. Program of recovery with focuses on what can be improved in the individual's life and is under their own control. Placement in a supportive environment where the victim can discover that they are not alone and can receive validation for their successes and support through their struggles, as a necessary personal therapy to promote self-discovery. As required, prescription and antidepressant medications. What to do about CPTSD if you've got it? Well, remove yourself from a primary situation, of course, secondary situations stemming from the primary abuse. Seek therapy. Talk about it. Write about it. Meditation. Medication if needed. Physical exercise. Rewrite and script your life. What not to do about it? Stay, hold on to it, ball it up, act out, isolate, self-abuse, perpetrate the cycle. What do you do if you know somebody else who has suffered from CPTSD? Offer sympathy, support, or shoulder to cry on, lend an ear, speak from experience, assist with practical resolution. When appropriate, guidance towards escape therapy, etc. Be patient. What not to do about it if you know somebody who has it? Do not push your own agenda. Moralize, speak in absolutes, tell them to get over it, or try to force reconciliation with the perpetrator, or offer surefire cures. So, I gave you pretty much a basic outline of CPTSD and PTSD. And as I just described or read to you, that there's obviously quite a difference between one from the other. And you know, when I first realized that I thought I just had PTSD, and then in the last few years that I discovered that they're now the Canadian Mental Health Association now is put another category to PTSD, which is CPTSD. That's when I realized that actually that's what I have, because I look at all the symptoms that I talked about. In fact, let me just go over them here a little bit more one more time to show you what I'm talking about. And this is where you out there may be able to relate to me what I'm talking about. Let me just find it here. Okay. Oh, yes. Well, as you heard, there's quite a shopping list here, and if I can use that term, shopping list, and that's pretty much what it is. It's quite a shopping list of things that you could potentially have. When I look at all the things that I used to, well, I still do, even to a certain degree. Never mind the nightmares and the flashbacks. I still get them, nowhere near as much as I used to, and that's probably because I talk about my experiences that helps me with that. And when I do get them, I have some days that are really, really bad where I get nightmares that literally just like wake me up right out of my sleep, or I'm very, well, I'm noisy in my sleep, meaning that I'm fighting in my sleep and I'm talking and I never have a good rest whenever I do that. My flashbacks, well, I have them pretty much daily anyway, and with the help that I've been getting from the Gatehouse and talking about my experiences has allowed me to help me on the stress on that quite a bit. Whereas before, I would get a flashback or a nightmare, and what I would do is I would run. I don't run anymore. Now I've discovered ways of grounding myself by applying mindfulness techniques. And which helps bring me back down to the present when I get triggered and when I get into that mode where I want to run or flight and want to go, especially when I have a really, really bad nightmare. And that's what I would used to do. I would have a really bad nightmare, or I would have consecutive. I'd have lot of flashbacks in a day related to my whatever my experiences were that day. And what would happen is I would want to go and I would want to go and medicate myself just to numb myself. I was already numb already, but I would want to numb myself even more because I didn't want to feel the pain of what I felt when I was a child. And even to this day, speaking about it, well, I still have body trauma very much through my body, and I haven't quite shaken it yet. I'm hoping to someday, but I know that I have great effects, not just in my mainly in my stomach area from my childhood, and it's not very good some days, and some days I just have absolutely no control of it. And the only way I can kind of get a hold of it is, again, like I say, I apply mindfulness techniques, and I have to put my thoughts into a totally different place, and then those feelings that I get inside, the pain that I get, it finally dissipates and goes away. So it really, really, really helps. But finding ways of dealing with it, I mean, unless you're able to get a therapist or a psychologist, somebody to help you through these steps, it's so crucial to help you get past those things, especially the nightmares and the flashbacks. You know, now when I see these other things, such as denial, depression, escape to fantasy, catastrophizing, avoidance, I mean, all those things, rage turned outward, basically turning inward, for example. Eating disorders, all these things that I see on the list here, it's quite a shopping list. All these things I've done to myself at some point or another leading up to when I came to the gatehouse. So learning these things was pretty important to me, because at least now I understood what was going on. Well, I haven't gone to a therapist. I have reasons why I don't go to therapists from the past, from my experiences, but understanding now what was going on. And none of that, but when I went a long time ago, they didn't know what they know now. So there's a huge difference, even if I was to try to attempt going. And there's probably some other things I should probably try to do in order to alleviate this body pain that I have. I don't know what it will involve, but some other forms of treatment. But I don't know. I'd have to research it and find out a little bit more. But I know from just the things I've been doing at the gatehouse, such as talking about my experiences, has helped me so much when I see PTSD, especially with my flashbacks and nightmares, which are very, very important, because I don't sleep much as it is. And before me coming here, I hardly slept at all. So going from little to no sleep to better sleep is a big difference. It makes the day a lot easier to get through. And those who experience or have suffered these things that I've talked about, or going through these things that I'm talking about, will know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know what? I'm talking about post-traumatic stress. I'm not just talking about people who have experienced child abuse, but anybody who suffered any kind of trauma whatsoever could be experiencing any of these things whatsoever. So I'm not going to be specific and say that just because you've experienced childhood sexual abuse or domestic violence, that you're the only ones to get it. Oh, anybody can get this as well, as I pointed out in the beginning. Frontline workers, think of the people with doctors and the nurses, what they deal with in the ERs, police, fire departments, our military, though, can't forget about them. You know, those guys, the horrors that they go through, just to make us, help us be in a safer place just like the police is pretty commemorable and should not be, not put aside and acknowledged for what they do. But it's the experiences that they come back with, for example, especially with our military people coming back after being in conflict and coming back. You know, the horrors that they see, obviously different than what they would see back in their own home country, but in a war, well, you're just going to watch TV and just let your imagination do the rest and what they report and what you see, like what's happening in Syria. Like, I mean, I couldn't imagine having to walk away from that and not have any kind of trauma from that, whether you're in the military fighting over there or you're from Afghanistan or Iraq or one of the other wars in the past. My grandfather, my uncle in Vietnam, You know, there's all kinds of different ways people can get a traumatic experience. You know, drowning in water, watching somebody getting shot in a shopping mall, somebody getting hit by a bus. So there's so many different things that you can get post-traumatic stress from. And again, it doesn't affect everybody. As I've stated, it affects, I mean, I really, you know, they don't have an answer why it works out that way, but they do know that it does affect some people and affects some people worse than others. And they don't know why or how or why, or they don't know any of the whys. It's all a bunch of whys and they have no answer. But all they can do and what they do know is from their experiences, the clinicians, what they do is, well, they could offer you medication, but the biggest thing I found out from speaking with clinicians and the research that I've done, not just through the Gatehouse and what I've seen, what I could just find online, just go to TED Talks, for example. And another great place you can go if you want to understand about post-traumatic stress is you go to TED Talks and look and Google Dr. Megan McKellar. She's a Canadian psychologist based in, I believe, in Vancouver, or at least the West Coast anyway. And she talks a wonderful story about post-traumatic stress and how it affects not only before and after, and it'd be a great example to go. Another great video I would recommend you watch too as well, that if you are suffering from post-traumatic stress or CPTSD, and you would like a little bit of help that way, not knowing, well, how to shake yourself out of it, for example, well, I would recommend you go and watch Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz, You Are Not Your Brain. And he talks about neuroplasticity, and he talks about mindfulness techniques on ways of bringing you back to the present. Very, very effective. It's stuff that I've used over the last years that I've been here at the Gatehouse, and it's helped me from basically wanting to run away and not deal with whenever I was in a flashback or I had a bad nightmare. Rather than running, I would apply those techniques in keeping myself, you know, bringing myself back to the present. It's not easy, and it's something that takes a lot of practice, but it's definitely doable. What else can I add to this? Okay, well, I'm going to leave it at that. There is my bleep on PTSD. I'm going to sign off Periscope here now, and I'm just going to stay right on. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, Personal Transformation. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to chat about a few more things. But other than that, I'm out of here on Periscope. Thank you for anybody who watched, and I'm going back to Blog Talk Radio, and that's where I'll finish off my broadcast. Thank you. Have a good night. Yes. So, So I just sent in I was doing a video, doing a double platform, talking about. PTSD, and I was doing it through Periscope as well, and now I'm just back on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm just checking my Twitter feed here at the same time, and it's all good. Okay, so needless to say, my experience with this has been it's been quite an experience. I've not gone to a therapist or a psychologist or any clinician in regards to helping me with this problem with the CPTSD. All I've ever done is go and look online, talk to other people that are suffering with the same thing, and basically just got support, people from the Gatehouse and thereabouts, and I've just done it that way. And I found other ways of dealing with it. Granted, I've tried many different things, but the idea is that I at least keep trying and not give up. I'd much rather do what I'm doing versus getting medicated through a clinician. I really no desire, because when I came here, as I've described in the beginning, I didn't know how to feel anything. And now that I've come here, now that I can feel, or rather I've learned how to feel, or I'm learning how to feel. And that's so much better than being numb and not knowing where you are. And as scary as that is and sounds, I prefer to be able to feel what I'm feeling and at least being able to understand it. so that I don't run away and so I don't become numb. So learning these things has been quite a task. I've been here for quite a while, and I refuse to give up, and I would like to, I'm going to keep plugging away here at it, and maybe at some point I can say that I can actually have a decent night's sleep where I don't have these nightmares anymore. I don't remember the last time I had a decent night's sleep. I shouldn't say that. I mean, that sounds really, really bad. It has gotten better over the years, as I said earlier. But still, I still get nights where I've been told where I'm doing a lot of shouting and yelling in my sleep, and I'm doing things things that I don't normally. And I know I wake up and I normally remember my dreams, and it's usually related to what happened to me in my past as a child. I don't like having dreams like that. I would think after all these years that might have changed, or I might have better dreams that might replace that, but it doesn't seem to be the case. And I think that's where the trauma comes into the body and kind of gives us a reminder of what actually happened to us as a child, or if it's your experience, or whatever happened in your experience. So it's just the trick is just learning to how to deal with it in a proper way that's healthy for you, and hopefully healthy for the people that you're around as well. And hopefully you're not depending on your experiences and how you may have acted around them. I don't know, but I know for myself, the things I used to do were not very were kind of odd, I guess. Nevertheless, such as what I would do. Well, for example, you know what I would do sometimes too, which is really, really bad. I was told this, and I never even realized this until after the fact. And it was just before I came here that somebody told me this. But I was told that I disassociated quite a bit. So I would just sit there in a daze, especially when I was triggered, and I'd just sit there in a daze, and people around me are talking. I wouldn't even have a clue of it. I was just totally clued out. I was gone. And I would take whatever it took to get me back, that's what brought me back. Well, now I can at least say that when I do have those moments, I'm able to pinch myself and bring myself back. As before, I never used to be able to do that. It just wasn't that simple. My nightmares, though, that's another story. I think I've tried to change the dreams. I know I've talked about this before. Tried to change my ending of my dreams, or I can't really change dreams, but I know that I can, that through research that I've done online, that I can change my dream only to a certain degree. I can't change the outcome. I know that, but I can change certain parts of it. I can change, and to which I've done. The basic outcome is I still get violated as a child, but I do what I have done is to change the smells and the scents, or rather the smells and the sounds, is what I'm trying to say. And this is what would always trigger me is like if I went into a basement, for example, or if I went to down by a river, for example. Those were two places I remember my first abuser would always take me, was either down to the basement of the apartment I was living, and he would violate me, or he would take me up to the river close to where I lived, and he would do the same thing there. So there's always those smells, and then the sounds too, and they would always trigger me. And I never even really understood why that happened. But after coming here, it makes total sense to me why I would have those type of flashbacks. And when I would smell water, like in a river, for example, or if I was in a basement, I would smell like a mold or a laundry, for example. Those sort of things, they would trigger me all the time. I never even realized it until I came here to the Gatehouse and I learned about these things. And then I started researching about it. Those things were the things that would trigger me. I don't know what your experience is out there, but this was always my experience on how it would affect me. And to this day, at least, yes, I still have them, and I don't think I have them near as often as I used to have them, but at least I can understand them, and I can, talk about them, and it's I guess that's really important. Never mind, I guess it is. It is very important in your own recovery, understanding these things and understanding where they come from. You know, you can go there and you know you have all these things you want to work on, but at the same time, if you don't understand what's going on, then how can you take effective change to help yourself, is what I'm getting at. So, and all it really is just awareness. So I didn't have that when I came here, but now that I have that awareness, it's easy for me to, well, I shouldn't say it's easy for me, but it helps me understand what I'm thinking and feeling in regards to those flashbacks whenever they happen, or those nightmares, and at least I'm able to apply mindfulness as I described to help me through the process. I don't know. I'm not too sure what more steps I can take other than going for EMD or something like that, or some other form of therapy in order to help me with my nightmares. I really am not too sure, but I don't know. Anyway, at least I've done something, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm only limited what I can do in regards to how further, other than what I can just keep working on it. My point being is that I said a few minutes ago, or not long ago, is that by working on it and being aware of it and talking about my experiences as a child has helped alleviate the impact of the, not only the flashback, but of the nightmare. So if you out there listening to me and you have not talked about your experiences from your trauma, then I would really recommend that you talk about your trauma. And if you do talk about your trauma, really make sure that you're around somebody safe, whether it be your therapist or a really good friend, your spouse, anybody at all. Or basically just a safe place that you can talk about your experiences. And I've talked about my story many, many, many times. And the more I talk about it, I think actually the less impact it has on me. Granted, some days I don't think so, but for the most part, I would say that it does. So not only am I getting tired of hearing my story, what happened to me, but I'm also tired of those experiences, such as the flashbacks and nightmares, which I have no idea, but I'm hoping that maybe in the next few years that I can pretty much eliminate them. But I believe that if I keep working on it the way I am, I keep talking about my story, the impact of what happened to me will become less and less onto me. I wish I had this information here in front of me, but I know there was a study done out of Concordia University in Montreal. This was probably back in the, probably in the 90s or early 2000. Dr. David Suzuki did a thing on it on the nature of things, and that's what he does. He talks about PTSD. And at Concordia University, the study was, what they did was, in front of a clinician or a psychologist, what they did is they had participants that had been through a traumatized experience. What they had them do is they had them write out their story, and wrote out their story, then they had them read the story. And then they had them do this over a consecutive period of time, of many weeks. And what they found was, in this study, was that the more they read their story or talked about their story, the less of the impact had on them lesser impact on them as it did if it started right from the beginning. So I kind of went on that philosophy to try that myself to see what would happen. So the more I said my story, the more I spoke about it, seems to be kind of what's happening with me as well. Granted, I've written my story down. I've said my story I gave my story to Deb in Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse. She put in her book, and I still continue to talk about it even to this day. So I would say that by doing so, like I'm talking about, has lessened the impact of both my nightmares and my flashbacks. Okay, folks, I don't think I could talk too much more about this. I do have on the 12th of April, I do have a gentleman coming in here. I won't say his name. I've already made the arrangements who it is. I'll post it up, not this week, but the next week I'll say who it is. But I finally got a guest coming in here. And this gentleman, what he does is he helps men with domestic violence that have experienced domestic violence. And I'll let him explain a little bit more and his story and what he's doing. I'll even say his name, but I'll tell you about it next week. But I do have a guest coming in within a couple of weeks. I've been a little while since I've done that, and actually I'm usually going to try to have a few more come in, or right through until the summertime anyway, and then we'll go from there. But anyway, folks, I'm going to wish you a good night. Thank you for listening, or watching in this case. Tonight's topic was about CPTSD and PTSD and its effects, not just from a clinician's point of view, but from my point of view, from my experiences. So I'm going to wish you a good week, and I'll be back next week. So thank you, and remember, self-care.